Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
From here to Armageddon, lesson two. In the first episode of From Here to Armageddon, we did an overview of the major prophetic events that will clearly happen from right now to the Battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus. Let's take just a moment to review the timeline of those events. As you can see on the timeline behind me, we will be discussing each of these events, but let's pause just a moment. Notice on the timeline, this timeline basically covers the final 7 years to the Battle of Armageddon. It begins with the Palestinian-Israeli peace agreement that's prophesied to come. During the first 3.5 years, the temple will be built on the Temple Mount. Animal sacrifices will be resumed. Then the Antichrist will stop those sacrifices, at which time he will claim to be Messiah and God in some way or another. It's at the same time that a very special war happens in heaven between the angels of Satan, the angels of God. That's recorded in Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 7. Satan will then be banished from appearing anymore before God and will be confined to the earth for the next 3.5 years. When the Antichrist stands on the Temple Mount claiming to be Messiah and God, that's the event referred to several times in the prophecies of the Bible called the Abomination of Desolation. This is what the scripture refers to as the revealing of the Antichrist. That's also probably the time when we will meet his religious partner, the false prophet. This event, halfway through the final 7 years, called the Abomination of Desolation, is the event that marks the beginning of the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation will then go for the last 3.5 years. This will be the time when the Antichrist is consolidating his power, trying to eliminate all opposition on earth, even if he has to revert to the killing of people. This will also be the time that a mark of the beast will be implemented. Finally, this 7-year period will culminate when the Middle East peace agreement, the 7-year agreement, transpires, and then Jerusalem becomes a point of contention again. Israel will not yield on the Jerusalem issue. They will not consent to dividing Jerusalem, giving half of it to the Palestinians. Consequently, the world community, undoubtedly the United Nations, will pass a resolution against Israel to force Israel to comply. Israel still will be steadfast. That will result in the invasion of Israel by the world community, undoubtedly by UN forces. Israel is going to fight the UN forces, but is going to slowly but surely lose that battle. Finally, Israel will take her last stand at Jerusalem during the Battle of Armageddon. And just when it looks like Israel's going down for the count, is going to be wiped off the face of the earth, that's when the second coming of Jesus Christ will occur. The Bible says he will come back and fight for the Jewish people. He will put down the thrones of men. He'll throw the Antichrist, the false prophet, into the lake of fire. Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And that's when we will crown Jesus Christ King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That event then begins the next 1,000-year period we sometimes refer to as the millennium. That's when there will be peace on earth for 1,000 years. One more very important point. All during this final 7 years, we have many scriptures that show us, in spite of Satan's moves, there's also going to be the world's greatest revival occurring. All of these prophetic fulfillments are going to cause people who understand the prophecies to realize we are in the end times right now. Anything we're ever going to do, we have to do. So that's another thing that's going to happen. So this is an overview of the timeline. Okay. Now, there are two major events prophesied for the very near future. Either one of them could take place at any time. These two events will be the two greatest prophetic fulfillments in the last 2,000 years since the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. These two events are the Sixth Trumpet War, also referred to as World War III, and the signing of a peace agreement between Palestinians and Israelis. Now, even though the Bible is not clear as to which one happens first, it appears more likely that the World War III will occur first. So let's look at the prophecy known as the Sixth Trumpet Prophecy. We call the coming war the Sixth Trumpet War because it will take place at the sounding of the sixth trumpet in Revelation chapter number 9. Much of the book of Revelation is built around three groups of seven. There are seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials. The seven seals contain prophecies of events over a very long period of time, maybe as much as 1,300 years or even more. The trumpets record prophecies over a much shorter period of time, probably about 100 years. And the vials prophesy events that will occur over a very short period of time, most of them being poured out on the invading armies of the world community at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. Now, these three groups of seven all end at the same time and with the same event. They all end with the Battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus to the earth. So, seals the long story, trumpets the shorter story, vials the real short story, but each of them end at the second coming of Jesus and at the Battle of Armageddon.
From Here to Armageddon, a new, exciting 8-lesson series to share with your family and friends. Order yours right away.
From Here to Armageddon answers many questions like, how far are we from the Battle of Armageddon? What will happen between now and then? Where are we on the timeline? This new series gives an overview of the major events that will occur from now until then and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Irvin covers topics such as the Sixth Trumpet War, the final 7 years, the Antichrist revealed, and the world's greatest revival just ahead. God did not intend for his people to stumble blindly into the end times. All your questions clearly answered in this exciting 8-lesson series, From Here to Armageddon.
Order yours today. Go to endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-END-TIME. Order yours right away.
Now, with that understood, let's take a look at the prophecy concerning the Sixth Trumpet War. The prophecy is found in Revelation 9, verse 13 through 16. Listen to it. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them. This is one of the most ominous prophecies in the entire Bible. There are three things that we should notice about this prophecy. One, one-third of mankind will die in this war. Two, the war begins from the area of the Euphrates River. 3, an army of 200 million soldiers will participate. Now, think about this. 1/3 of mankind will die. 2.4 billion people. Now, I want to pause a moment so that you can really get this. You need to realize that the greatest war the world had ever seen up until the beginning of the 20th century, the biggest war was World War I. In World War I, 8.2 million people died in that war. The world called it the Great War or World War I. They established the League of Nations at that time to try to ensure it never happened again because they were afraid they would destroy the world in the next war. Well, the League of Nations failed, and 20 short years later, World War II came. This time, there were not 8.2 million killed. When the guns finally fell silent, the fatalities numbered a staggering 52 million. The sixth trumpet prophecy states that 1/3 of mankind will be killed in this coming war, this coming conflict. There are presently 7 billion people on the earth. 1/3 of 7 billion would be 2.4 billion. That's 40 times those killed in World War II. That number, well, it's absolutely staggering. Yet, that's exactly what the prophecy says. And the prophecies always come to pass. The prophecy tells us this war will begin from the Euphrates River. The scripture states that the sixth trumpet war will begin from the area of the Euphrates River in the Middle East. The Euphrates begins in Turkey in the north, flows down through Syria, travels all the way through Iraq, and finally empties into the Persian Gulf along the Iranian border. The last 60 miles of the Euphrates forms the border between Iraq and Iran. So the prophecy tells us that the war that will kill 1/3 of mankind will begin from this part of the world. The scripture also tells us that an army of 200 million men will participate in this war. There has never in the history of the world been an army of 200 million soldiers. So our final question is, who will make up the 200 million soldier army prophesied in this prophecy? There are only 3 entities on earth that could fulfill this prophecy. Mao Zedong, in his diary, boasted that he could field an army of 200 million soldiers. In recent years, India's population has grown to almost match the population of China. Consequently, India could also put 200 million soldiers on the battlefield. Now, there's one more force on the earth with an adequate population to produce an army of 200 million. Islam claims 1.6 billion followers, bigger than China or India. So it could easily qualify to field the army of 200 million. Furthermore, we know for certain that Islam will be involved in this war since every inch of the Euphrates River is controlled by Islam. Turkey is 98% Muslim, Syria 92%, Iraq 98%, and then Iran is almost 100% Islamic. So every inch of the Euphrates River is controlled by Islam, and the Bible says that's where this war will begin from. So Islam's going to be involved. Since the prophecy states that 2.4 billion will die, it's obvious that this war will spill out of the Middle East because there's not 2.4 billion people there and become a world war. Who else will be involved in World War III to kill this many human beings? The war will almost certainly have to become nuclear. Only 3 nations have the nuclear firepower to produce such unbelievable devastation: the United States, Russia, and China. One or more of these powers will certainly be involved in the Euphrates River War. The United States will very likely be involved, since the U.S. has involved itself in almost every conflict around the world. It's also quite likely that China will become embroiled in this conflict. If all of China were wiped out in this war, the total killed would be 1.3 billion. I'm talking about if China was totally obliterated. 1.3 billion. Since the prophecy foretells 2.4 billion will be killed, that leaves another 1.1 billion yet to die. Could that mean that India, with its 1.25 billion population, might become embroiled in this war as well? We can't predict with absolute certainty who all will be involved in the Euphrates River War. We only know the outcome will be absolutely catastrophic. So, does the Bible indicate a time for the Sixth Trumpet War? I have been taught all of my life that everything after Revelation 4, verse 1 in the book of Revelation would occur during the final 7 years. I had also been taught that the church would be gone by way of a pre-tribulation rapture. Consequently, I never bothered to closely study the events of the seven trumpets, because that's all in the book of Revelation, supposedly after the rapture. When the Chernobyl nuclear accident happened in 1986, I began to hear rumors that the Russian word for wormwood was Chernobyl. I simply brushed this off as another wild prophecy theory that someone had dreamed up, because when you're in the prophecy business, you hear all kinds of wild prophecy theories. I mean, I've got 75 antichrists in my filing cabinet right now, different theories that different people have. So I had just simply shunted it aside. Let's take a look at the prophecy about wormwood. It's found in Revelation chapter 8, verse 10 through 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. In 1995, while writing the manual for the Understand the End Time series that we were producing at the time, I felt the Lord spoke to me that I should check out this theory concerning wormwood being Chernobyl in Russian. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about this story at this point. I was working on this manual. I was typing at my desk on my computer the manual. Everything was flowing really good. And when a writer's writing and the words are flowing, you need to just leave him alone. So my door was shut. Everything was going good. And I really thought the Lord spoke to me, not audibly, but just in my mind, saying, you know that rumor you heard about wormwood being Chernobyl? I want you to check that out. And I said to the Lord, Lord, you know I've got to get this manual done. I'm behind on my deadlines. I'm just telling you what happened. I was alone. This was just me and God. But the impression was so strong, I was afraid not to obey it. So since it was who it was, I pulled the drawer open to my desk. I pulled out my phone book, got the number of the local library. When they answered, I asked for the reference librarian. When she came on, I said, ma'am, this is Pastor Irvin Baxter, and I've heard a rumor that the Russian word for wormwood is Chernobyl. And I was just wondering if you might be able to research this for me and tell me whether or not this is true. She quickly said, to my astonishment, oh, it is true. For you see, the Russians took wormwood for medicinal purposes. It turned their tongues black. And the Russian word for black is chernin. So consequently, they begin to call wormwood Chernobyl. And she gave me a lot of other information that I can't remember right now. But I was so taken aback, I said, okay, ma'am, I'm going to be writing an article about this. I'd like to have documentation. Could I maybe have some books and some page numbers? Could you help me that way? She said, I'll call you back. About 20 minutes later, she called me back. She gave me the books. She gave me the page numbers. She referred me to a Russian dictionary where it gave the definition. And then she told me about a book written by one of the scientists that was on duty that night at the Chernobyl nuclear plant in the Ukraine. The name of the book was The Truth About Chernobyl. I bought the book. I read all about it. And here's what I found out.
From Here to Armageddon, a new exciting eight-lesson series to share with your friends and family. Order yours right away.
Answering many questions like, how far are we from the Battle of Armageddon? What will happen between now and then? Where are we on the timeline? Your questions answered in this exciting eight-lesson series from Here to Armageddon.
Go to endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-END-TIME, 1-800-363-8463. Order yours right away.
The scientists over the Chernobyl power plant that night, by the way, there are four power plants, nuclear power plants, in the Chernobyl complex. I think this was power plant number four. They decided to do a test at 1:26 in the morning on April the 26th of 1986. And they disabled some of the safety features in order to conduct this experiment that this scientist wanted to do. Well, once everything was set, he thought, he gave the command to raise the rods that allowed the nuclear reaction to begin. And as he was watching things, the reaction picked up speed beyond his expectation. He panicked and said, bring the rods back down to stop the reaction. Too late. The excessive heat had warped the rods and they wouldn't come down. Very quickly, the first explosion hit, knocking the 2 million pound lid off of the reactor. It came down sideways, cocked, and then the secondary explosion hit and drove nuclear material 1 mile into the air. It was then caught by the winds and carried north toward Switzerland, ultimately going into Italy, Germany, and even Great Britain. Well, everybody was panicking. In the meantime, one of the personnel on duty that night rushed down to the location of the explosion, opened the door, and found himself staring full face into a nuclear fire. He slammed the door shut. By now, the heat was intense. He whirled around, fell on the floor because that's the way they're trained. That's where the coolest air is. About that time, his partner came dashing into the same room and the blast of heat hit him. He too fell on the floor. In the meantime, the heat did dissipate because the lid is now off the reactor. When they were finally able to get up, they helped each other to walk the one block back to the first aid station. And as they walked along, some of the areas they walked by had glass windows, which served as mirrors. And they saw their own skin hanging off of their arms in ribbons. Both of those men died just a few weeks later. In the meantime, the firefighters came to fight the fire, not even realizing they were signing their own death warrant by being there. So they brought airplanes to drop fire retardant on the flames. The firefighters fought the flames for 3 weeks. The radiation was so intense because there was more radiation released at Chernobyl, 10 times as much as was produced by the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in World War II. So as they were fighting these flames, the fire trucks quickly became contaminated with radioactive material, And so they brought bulldozers in to bury those fire trucks. They brought more fire trucks. Again, they became contaminated. The bulldozers buried them again. Then the bulldozers became so contaminated, humans couldn't be around them anymore. So they brought more bulldozers to bury the bulldozers. So the helicopters flying overhead, fighting the flames, the bulldozers, the fire trucks, there's a whole graveyard of all that firefighting equipment still in Chernobyl to this day. Well, quickly, Pripyat, which is the town of about 40,000.
Thank you for being with us today on End of the Age. If you would like the complete lesson of today's program, watch the following message. From Here to Armageddon, a new, exciting 8-lesson series to share with your family and friends. Order yours right away.
From Here to Armageddon answers many questions like, how far are we from the Battle of Armageddon? What will happen between now and then? Where are we on the timeline? This new series gives an overview of the major events that will occur from now until then and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Irvin covers topics such as the Sixth Trumpet War, the final 7 years, the Antichrist revealed, and the world's greatest revival just ahead. God did not intend for his people to stumble blindly into the end times. All your questions clearly answered in this exciting 8-lesson series, From Here to Armageddon.
Order yours today. Go to endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-END-TIME. Order yours right away.